Guys, you know soccer is more than just a game for me. It's my 24/7 everything. It's what I talk about, work on, stream, and post about. Because the match is on the field, but the experience is everywhere. It's the group chat before kickoff, the reactions after a goal, and talking football with people who love the game as much as I do. That's why staying connected matters. As a T-Mobile member, I get America's best network and so much more. Plus, no roaming data charges and unlimited texting in 21 Latin American countries. I also get awesome benefits like incredible perks every week with T-Mobile Tuesday. Major score. If you want more connections and perks, switch to T-Mobile today at T-Mobile.com. Not for extended international use. Coverage not available in some areas. See plan for details. T-Mobile, best mobile network in the U.S. based on analysis by Ookla of Speedtest Intelligence data 2H 2025.
You ain't heard about Moto Casino?
Moto has real Vegas slots. Any game you can find on the floor in Vegas, you can play it on Moto.
I like my slots hot. Moto's free to play, like food stamps. In line at the grocery store, at a in traffic. Keep your eyes on the road. Hop on Moto Casino. Moto Casino got jackpots that are bigger than my belly. Moto, America's hottest free-to-play social casino.
Download the Moto Casino app today.
Moto Casino is a social casino. Void where prohibited. No purchase necessary. Visit Moto.us for more
Moto
details.
Moto Casino. America's social casino.
Caroline, Willie, D-Mace, 102.5, 106.3, The Game, and The Game Nashville app. We're live from the Hiller Plumbing, Heating, Cooling, and Electrical Game Studios. We're live out here at Pete and Terry's Tavern at Bridgestone Arena. The Predators in action tonight, hosting the Edmonton Oilers. Puck drop at 7 o'clock. Pre-game starts here at 6 o'clock on 102.5, The Game. Joining us now is ESPN NFL analyst Tim Hasselbeck. Tim, always appreciate our chats with you. It was a brutal morning watching the Titans get beat down by the Baltimore Ravens in London on Sunday. If you had to choose one word to describe what you saw from the Titans on Sunday, what would it be?
I'm torn between disappointing and ugly. I think maybe I go with disappointing.
Ugly also applies.
Ugly applies also. You only give me one. They probably both apply.
You can combine them both. Yeah. Ugly, disappointing.
Yeah. Disappointing and ugly.
I mean, I feel like these London games in general, I feel like there's, like, you get some curveballs for sure. I mean, just look at Buffalo a couple weeks ago, right? Like, so it does happen where, you know, you get just kind of an off performance. But, you know, I think it's been experienced enough. I think there's probably enough data. There's probably enough information with, you know, how teams travel, how they approach it, how they do all of those things to, you know, prevent that from being the case, you know, for your team if you're over there playing. So, you know, I think because of that, you know, that's where the disappointment comes up. Mm-hmm. And then I think in terms of, you know, the ugly, it just seems like it has been, and I think, Caroline, I think you asked me about this last week, just the up and down nature mm-hmm. of the offense. And that is just, like, that's just really frustrating as well. You know, when it's one week, you know, it seems like the ball is never hitting the ground. And the next week, it's like, man, it's a battle to complete, you know, half your passes. And so yeah. I just think when you look at that, you know, that's also the part of it that's probably ugly.
Yeah, total inconsistency from this team. And, you know, they always say that you are what your record says you are. And this team is very much so 2-4. Two good yeah. games and four absolute clunkers. But the Titans have a bye this week. And then the Atlanta Falcons the following week. And then the trade deadline just a couple days after that. In your opinion, what would you need to see from this team to help you decide what to do at the trade mm-hmm. deadline?
Yeah, I think you would have to see a lot of, like, I think you need to see encouraging signs, because I think what you're getting at, and please correct me if I'm wrong, but is that, all right, the bye happens. Let's say you don't see the signs of promise that you need, you know, kind of between now and the trade deadline. Do you trade players that, you know, maybe because of contract or otherwise, might not be on your roster a year from now in order to get the ammunition you need to have a better team 2024 and beyond. And so what would I need to see? I mean, I think I think I would need to see a lot of improvement, probably just across the board in terms of just offensive production and efficiency. And I think some ways, you know, if you're not getting it on a certain side of the ball, that maybe puts into question things that you would do on the other side of the ball in terms of personnel. So, because I do think you're getting to that point, especially when you just look at the AFC. Look, if you come out of the bye week, play a game, and you're 2-5, yeah, I think you have to make some hard decisions. And then, like, what do I mean about, like, seeing some efficiency? Like, Tate's 1-9 on third down.
Bad.
Like, there are some things, like, so if you're not seeing signs of life, yeah, I think you probably need to make a decision. Mm-hmm.
We'll talk with Tim Hasselbeck, ESPN NFL analyst. Now, Tim, when you hear a comment like Jeffrey Simmons makes and says, well, we're going to find out who wants to be here, who wants to be a Titan, who wants to play, you know, as a Titan, essentially, you know, I'm just paraphrasing what he says, what he said after the game. What goes through your mind? Because to me, when a guy says that, one, it's frustration, but then two, it's something that's being seen by that player or players that now that they're losing, they're all of a sudden now we're starting to come out. Like,
yeah,
we're going to find out who really wants to be on this team and who doesn't.
Yeah, when I hear things like that, and you know, I'd be curious if you had a similar experience to mine. But when you hear things like that, the things that jump out to me are things like this. Has a culture developed on the team, you know, maybe it's younger players, but has a culture developed on the team where, like, Friday night becomes a big social night, you know, and the way guys roll in to walk through on Saturday is, you know, not really what you would consider for championship caliber teams. Is there, you know, a lack of effort at practice, or is there a lack of effort in terms of, like, attention to details, in terms of really trying to be prepared each and every week? Is there effort that you see maybe even on game day, or an attitude that is, you know, just not a culture of a winning attitude, like fully invested in the process? So, that's what that says to me when you hear a star player who's been an awesome player, who's clearly committed to the organization, when he says something like that.
Yes.
And I would be curious to think if you feel like it's a similar thing from your experience.
Yeah, it's typically to me when things like that start to come out, there are things like you said. Are guys rolling in late to lifting weights? Are guys, you know, if you're supposed to lift at 8, are you rolling in at 8:30? Or if you're supposed to, are you coming in 2 or 3 minutes late to meetings? All these things that were not happening, now they're starting to happen. And then because we're losing, now it comes out in an interview. So just like you players see these changes, whether it be the player himself or he sees it in other guys that are coming into meetings late, you know, not doing what they're supposed to do, coming out to practice late. And then you just get frustrated as a player and you voice those frustrations through the media.
Yeah, I think that's a good way to put it. And I think what happens is, like, sometimes it's like not a big deal when you're winning.
Exactly.
And then when you're losing, and you got guys looking around being like, wait a second. Like, everyone here knows I've got a torn labrum, but yet I'm the first one into the lift. I'm staying late watching film. I'm doing all this and all that. And then I'm looking around, and it doesn't feel like the same level of commitment. You know what I mean? And I think that's where the frustration is hurt.
Now, do you think the NFL should mandate, you know, teams, if they're playing overseas, to leave either that Tuesday? Mm-hmm. Because it was clear, you know, Baltimore left early. Jacksonville was already in London or overseas. And it just, there was a clear distinction on teams that had been there for a while and teams that just got there. Because Buffalo looked horrible. They look lackluster. And then the Tennessee Titans, who didn't travel over there until, I believe, what, Thursday? They look lackluster. So should they, in order just to get a better game, should the league mandate that these teams leave a little bit earlier?
You know, I don't think that the league should be responsible for saying when you have to go there. Because I think if the league starts saying, like, hey, you guys got to come on Tuesday, like, they may end up filling your week with other things that are non-football that, you know, maybe become a distraction to actually getting ready to play the game. And if, you know, your coach and your organization believes that, look, we're better off with our own training room and our own practice fields and you know, guys sleeping in their own beds versus, you know, spending that much time away from home. If they think that that's what's best for their team, then I think they should be able to make that decision. And I think that's where, and look, you played for different organizations. I did as well. Not every team travels the same. And not everybody just spends the same amount of money on how they travel. And not everybody does it at the same level is everybody else. And so I think that, look, that's just something that players need to take note of. You know, how do we fly? Where do we stay? How do we handle, you know, games that are, you know, across the Atlantic Ocean? You know, what, you know, like, how does that, like, how do they take care of us in those moments? And I think that, you know, players may start to pay attention to that stuff.
We're talking to Tim Hasselbeck, and Tim, they always say the quarterback gets too much blame, too much credit. So when you evaluate Ryan Tannehill, there are a lot of people saying, well, look at the numbers. The numbers are really bad. You know, he ranks 31st, 32nd in a lot of key categories and not a whole lot higher than about 27th in any of them. And now he's got the high ankle sprain. So how would you evaluate him? He's going to be the starter if he comes back, but now you factor in mobility, which has been a strength of his, could be limited. How do they make it work going forward? I can see the argument of why not just turn the page.
Yeah, I don't know that I would be ready to turn the page, and I think the guy that gives you the best chance of turning it around, you know, from a 2-4 season to, you know, going, you know, 4-2 over your next six games, I believe on the roster is Ryan. So, you know, that's why I would not be eager to turn the page. You're exactly right in terms of the mobility. I actually think that they probably could be more aggressive with him when he's healthy as a runner and as a designed runner. So, you know, depending on what he looks like and if you're less apt to run him, I think the bigger question I would have would end up being, does giving him, does sitting him for a little bit get me back the guy that gives me my best chance to win, you know, once we, you know, are closer to November or in November? That would be the question I ask. And then, you know, with that, like, can you win with one of the guys that you have? So, look, I don't think that Ryan has played in a way that it doesn't at least make you have that conversation about how to handle him, where I think, like, look, when Joe Burrow wants to come play and he's clearly not totally right because of the calf injury, look, that's just his call and you're going to play him. You know, I think with how things have gone offensively, and not that it's been all his fault, I think you at least have to have the conversation of, all right, what if we sit him? We get a, you know, we get a bye week, and we sit him, and we get him 2 weeks, 3 weeks off. We then have a healthy Ryan, and we also learn a little bit more about where other quarterbacks are.
On where other quarterbacks are, let's hit you with a couple. C.J. Stroud looks really good, and that was not something the Titans were hoping to see this early here. So, just how good do you think he looks?
I think he looks really good. A couple of things that they've done a good job of is, you know, what D'Amico Ryans is doing down there reminds me a little bit of Sean McDermott early, you know, years in Buffalo, in that they're doing a great job creating turnovers. They're not getting crazy offensively. And I think because of that, it's helped the quarterback play well from the standpoint of, you know, he's not making bad decisions. So, and that's not to take anything away from how he's played, but, you know, offensively, they've been lighting people on fire, but he's been making enough plays. He's certainly thrown the ball well, but he's not turning it over. And so because of that, like, they're just in games and then in turn winning some games. And I would just caution everybody in the AFC South a little bit that, look, you look at their schedule, like, they're going to be in the mix if they improve a little bit on offense. So, yeah, he's played well. I think it's fair to say he's probably exceeded expectations.
And then how in the world do the Browns, the Jets, and the Giants play the way they played in this league with the backup quarterbacks in? If you consider Zach Wilson the backup, which he really is. Mm-hmm. But the Jets beat the Eagles, the Browns beat the 49ers, and the Giants were one play away from beating the Bills in Buffalo. With the backup quarterbacks
None
in. That's one of those where just when you think you have the league figured out, something like that happens.
Well, here's what I'd say. And, like, two things stick out from San Francisco's perspective that kept the Browns in it. Well, and let me just say this. So all of those teams that you mentioned, they all have good defenses. Like, you know, the Browns' defense is really good. The Jets' defense is a championship-caliber defense. And the Giants have a good defense. So that can keep you in it for sure. And we talk so much about offense, and I think sometimes – you know, we slight that side of the ball. And then I would say this. The Niners, they had so many busts up front this past week. Like, they just blew assignments. And it impacted how Purdy played. I think the weather impacted how Purdy played. He missed throws. And they just weren't the same. That's why that game turned out the way it did. You know, the Jets-Eagles. So that defense obviously was great. Zach Wilson did not turn the football over. Robert Saleh said it. Like, if Zach Wilson doesn't turn the football over, they're going to win a bunch of football games. Like, that's how good the defense is. And so I think that ended up being a factor there. And from the Eagles' perspective, they were winning. So other than, like, the very start of the game at 0-0, they're winning the entire game until there's inside 2 minutes left. And Jalen Hurts had 45 attempts. That's not their formula. Like, Philadelphia Eagles completely got away from how they really should be playing football. They did. And then in Buffalo, like, you know, we're talking about London games. Look, you got to fly back too, right? And so
that's probably harder, right?
Yeah,
I would think so. And, you know, and so I think in that environment, couple turnovers, they just got off to a really, really slow start, and they were a different team in the second half. But, you know, I do think it was an impressive effort by the Giants with all, not just backup quarterback, but other backups that they had. But, you know, that to me ended up being, you know, turnover game. And then obviously, you know, the bad decision by the Giants was rough.
Now, Tim, is the L.A. Chargers the new Dallas Cowboys? Because I think the Staley, you know, the Staley regime, I think it's past due. I think they need to move on. I know Justin Herbert is dealing with an injury on his non-throwing hand, but it just seems like when they get in these situations, he or Staley always does something that costs them the game. It's like they just like Dallas, they always do something at the end that costs themselves the game. The L.A. Chargers are the same way.
There's something about the Chargers that I just can't – like, they're the team where it's like, really? Like, as good as you are, like, that's how you finish? And so, yeah, I mean, if that's how people viewed the Cowboys, it probably so. I thought Staley was on the hot seat a year ago. I actually thought Kellen Moore was potentially a candidate to replace him as a head coach. And so that dynamic out there – I think is very interesting, so much so that if they continue to underperform, is there a move during the year at head coach? And you give Kellen Moore an opportunity to maybe change it? So, And I would say this about Justin Herbert. I think he's a great player. I love watching him play. But, like, can a broken finger on your left hand impact your accuracy on your right hand?
Exactly.
Like, when Willie had a blister on his right index finger, did it hurt his curveball? Like, I don't know that it did.
Fair question.
I thought that he missed too many throws last night. And so I think there's legitimate reason to be like, look, as hard as everybody is on Dak Prescott, I mean, shoot, Dak misses a touchdown throw at the end of the game. They have to settle for three. That there's a very good chance that cost them the football game. But we're more talking about, you know, some of the misses that Justin Herbert had, which I think is fair based on some of the throws he missed.
ESPN NFL analyst Tim Hasselbeck. Tim, appreciate you as always. We'll chat next week.
Sounds good. See you guys.
Awesome. Yep. Thanks, Tim. Tim Hasselbeck, he is the very best. And it does feel like the Chargers have some sort of bugaboo.
Man. Gosh.
Just something they just can't quite get off their backs. But we talked with Tim about the big decisions that are now facing the Titans in the next few weeks. By this week, then the Falcons, then the trade deadline. What Mike Vrabel said about what they could do and what they're keeping in mind over the next few weeks. We'll get into that coming up next. Caroline, Willie, DeMace, we are brought to you by Zen Sports. Start earning cash rewards on your bets today. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-889-9789. Terms and conditions apply. Must be 21 and older and in Tennessee to bet. Nashville.com or the 1025 The Game app as we approach week 8 of college football and week 7 of the NFL. Another week of covering the spread and not winning for me.
Oh,
7-1.
Unbelievable.
7-1 on the season.
And another week of success for D-Maze, who continues to lap the field.
Just don't
hey, man,
get
it's
it.
Just, listen, the air is very thin at the top, you know.
Just feel like one of these days I'm going to break through. I could have made a lot of money betting against the spread, but Silly Underdog Picks is presented by Volunteer Hose and Gasket. Just spoke with Tim Hasselbeck, and he touched on, I think, one of the biggest questions that's surrounding this Tennessee Titans team is, where does this team go? Bye week this week, then the Atlanta Falcons, just a couple of days before the NFL trade deadline. Now, of course, the trade deadline and what you decide to do at it does depend on picking up the phone and looking at the offers out there. Like, if you're offered a second-round pick for Derrick Henry, love you, Derrick. See you, Derrick. I'll take the second-round pick. But then you get into, you know, you're not always going to get in return the return that feels like an obvious move, mm-hmm. like an obvious yes or an obvious no. The Predators, on the other hand, got the greatest haul in the history of the NHL. Well, you might get in return something that makes you think, well, I don't know. For the most part, trades are more difficult than they do seem obvious. So Mike Vrabel was asked yesterday, asked Mike Vrabel, you know, would you consider trading at the trade deadline? And at what point do you just try to prioritize a pick in next year's draft over winning this season? This is what Mike Vrabel had to say.
Consider trading assets at the deadline and prioritizing a draft pick in next year's draft?
I think we would always consider trying to strengthen the team, whether that's right now, this week, or in the future. Absolutely.
Okay, so.
Yeah, I mean, I think that's, you know, when you're in a situation that the Titans find themselves in, I think all options are on the table. You know, I think Vrabel has always said and ran for that much. Listen, every day we try to make the team better. Mm-hmm. How do we do that? Whether, you know, before the trade deadline, bringing guys in to work out throughout mm-hmm. the week, strengthen our practice squad to hopefully eventually bring those guys up to the active squad. What can we do to make this roster stronger from the bottom up? They're going to always do that. But now they find themselves in a situation where, you know, it may be time and to, you know, look at key guys and say, okay, moving forward, are these guys on the table? And if they are, what would it take to move them? Say if they lose against Atlanta.
Uh-huh.
Are you then thinking, okay, now let's just push it all to the table, see what's out there. Mm-hmm. Are there going to be some takers? And if there are, how bad are we willing to part with these guys? Mm-hmm. You know, are we only willing to part with them if they're going to give us a high round draft pick, or does it really matter in regards to the draft pick? Can we get a fifth or fourth for a guy? Because they're not getting a first or a second or a third for any one of these guys, I don't think. And that's not to diminish their play. It's just that they're older guys that we're thinking about that could possibly be on the trading blocks.
And that's the big question. Is the return a better value than the player that you're getting or the player that you would be losing? Mm-hmm. And at that point, you have to ask, who's off the table? Jeffrey Simmons?
Yeah, of course. Of course, your younger guys like Simmons is off the table. You know, Skoronski's. He's
any guys on rookie deals?
Yeah, guys that are on rookie deals, they are off the table. But when you start looking at veteran guys, for me, because I heard this conversation yesterday with Hutt and Chase and Big Joe, and they were talking about, you know, potentially, you know, trades and all this other stuff. To me, if you can, you know, those guys are on a trade table, the guys that we talked about at the beginning of the season, Derrick Henry, Ryan Tannehill, Kevin Byard, possibly even Amani Hooker, Danico Autry. And then one guy that I think I would trade only to help him, DeAndre Hopkins. I don't think DeAndre Hopkins would want to – he may not ever say anything verbally, like outward, but – how would you, as a veteran guy that's been in the league 8-9 years, and you sign this big deal with the team, a 2-year deal with the team that you believe in your mind the day you sign with them, if we can get into the playoffs? I believe we can get into the playoffs. Once you get into the playoffs, you know, anything can happen. Mm-hmm. So it went from that to, damn, we might not get in the playoffs. Like, it's a long shot. As a player, as a veteran player, you got to start to think, my time is running short. Mm-hmm. Where can I go to get an opportunity, not just to get in the playoffs, but win a Super Bowl? Mm-hmm. You would be helping him out as a veteran guy saying, hey, listen, D-Hop, let us know, you know, we're thinking about making some moves. We could potentially send you to a playoff contending team. Is that something that you would consider? I'm sure D-Hop would be like, yeah, because it's not like it's his first, fourth, or fifth year. Mm-hmm. He's in double-digit years almost. And it's not he's closer to retirement than not.
He hasn't really been on a winning team his entire
exactly.
career.
Exactly. So, to me, you may get more for him because he's been your only weapon in the pass game, like consistent weapon. And yeah. It hasn't been like explosive plays. He's been your more reliable pass catcher. So, with that, I think there's a team out there, Kansas City, who once wanted him but didn't want him to pay the money. But Kansas City, you see the problems they're having with their pass catchers.
Yes.
I'm sure Kansas City, if the deal was right, they would be willing to add D-Hop to their roster. And it's a win-win, I think, for D-Hop and for the Titans.
Yes, and also DeAndre Hopkins knows where the franchise is.
Exactly.
Next year, you're going to have a very young, unproven quarterback, whoever it is, most likely. And so if you can get – that's the thing, is can you get somebody like Kansas City and some maybe another team or
exactly.
two to compete and say, well, we'll offer you this. If you can do that, one of the things that was a factor in the Predators being able to make out like they did in their seller's mode was that the market was good for sellers last year. Mm-hmm. I don't know what the market's going to be mm-hmm. in the NFL. It never seems like in the NFL – there are a bunch of trades. A lot of people, I think, and someday maybe we could have this debate, should the trade deadline be later in the season mm-hmm. like it is in other sports in the NFL? Why do they have the trade deadline so early? I don't know. Like, I would think you could create a fun, discussion mm-hmm. of trade rumors and stuff if you had trade deadline after, say, 10 games or instead of after 6 or 7 yeah. games for some of these teams. But I don't know what the market is. But if the market is good, you have to pay attention, which all brings you back to what you were saying, Caroline, yeah. how big this game is against the Falcons. Because I don't think they're going to make any moves before this game. It's after
agree.
The game that the groundwork will be laid. Rand mm-hmm. Carthon, I think these next 2 weeks, will probably spend some time on the phone being nosy, mm-hmm. as Teron put. And that's uh-huh. that's Rand's quote, right? We're all nosy, right, as GMs. So you make your phone calls and you find out what the market is. And then – you see how it looks against the Falcons. in a huge, huge game. It's like David Poyle said, you got to show me, show me something. If you guys want to be in this race and you want me to keep this team together, then you got to show me on the field. And it can't be excuses. I mean, this is where they are. It can't be, well, Tannehill's hurt, or they don't have this guy or that guy. They have to get it done against them. And if they don't, then you may have to go in a different direction.
My only thing with that, with a D-Hop or a Derek, is we can all agree it feels more likely than not that Will Levis is your starting quarterback next year. I would feel better about not necessarily a rookie quarterback, but a rather unexperienced quarterback coming in having veterans like DeAndre Hopkins to throw to, having a safety net like Derrick Henry to, you know, to drop the ball off to. And I get it that if you have an offer that you simply cannot refuse and you think that that value is better for your team in the draft next year, then yeah, then you make that move. But that's one thing that I'm keeping in mind is it's not just about this year. And it's not just about blow everything up and focus for next season. Well, maybe holding on to some of those veteran guys is keeping next season in mind and giving Will Levis tools to help him thrive in his first season as the starting quarterback come week one.
But those, again, you can find a vet. Because we all, listen, Derrick Henry is an exceptional runner, exceptional running back. But he's closer to retirement, and he probably has 3 or 4 more years left. I don't know. But he's closer to retirement than not, okay?
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
So my thing is, we all talk about how expendable running backs are. Oh, we can get this running back to do this. We can get this running back to do that. I'm at a point where not necessarily, but I get it because that's the way the NFL is. Mm-hmm. So if that's the belief that you have, then you can – have Tajay Spears. Hell, there's rumors that the Jets are shopping Cook, and they just got him. Exactly. So
yeah.
that tells you where their head is at.
Yeah.
So to me, I am not going to give Derrick Henry up for nothing. But this notion of, okay, if we're then going to insert our young quarterback, we need to have a Derrick Henry, or we need to have a D-Hop. No, you don't need to have.
You need to have them. Because
no matter what, that offensive line is not good.
No, it's not.
So no matter who you have, yeah, Derrick Henry had a big run. But how did that big run happen? Off a trick play. They didn't just – when they just handed the ball to Derrick Henry and said hit that hole, he didn't have many runs. He did. Why? Because that offensive line is bad. They're bad. I hope they get better, but it doesn't seem like they are. So to me, you can then, hey, listen, if Ryan can't come back, I will try to make the move with D-Hop, possibly Derek, Kevin. But really D-Hop, only if Traylon can come back after the bye. See how he is after the bye. If Traylon can play after the bye and he's healthy enough, then I am more than likely after that Atlanta game, if we don't win that game, I'm going to help D-Hop out. I'm going to try to send him somewhere where he can make a playoff run, where he could potentially get to where he want to go. Because right now with this team, they're not there.
But my point being, yes, you could help DeAndre Hopkins out, but how much is that helping your team?
It depends on what you're getting.
It depends on what you're getting back, yeah.
I need to get a good return from that. And I go back to the 49ers gave up a lot more than anybody thought they would give up to get Christian McCaffrey. So maybe the market's good. Other times you're very underwhelmed for what somebody gets in a trade, right? Like, that's all they got? And if it's that's all they got, then I can see what you're saying. The security blanket of having veterans around a young quarterback could have value. And you have to weigh what's the value of that versus what you're going to get in return.
Right. Yeah.
And then obviously you got to – you know, Chris Moore, him, is he going to be – because I don't think he came back in the game after that.
No,
hit.
No. He was so out. That was a nasty hit.
That was a nasty hit. I saw it, and people are screaming like, oh, they threw Hamilton. I'm like, didn't y'all see the hit?
Yeah.
Like, I can't believe Harbaugh and the
exactly.
guy were
I'm like,
protesting. Like,
dude, did y'all see that? Yeah. Whether he meant it or not, that was an illegal hit.
Kyle Hamilton was screaming expletives, basically, in summary from reading his lips of, what do you mean? That's craziness. I didn't do anything. And I'm like, dude seriously?
Textbook.
In today's NFL, that's a 15-yard and
That's an ejection. Is an ejection. You can't do that. All right, let's get into your phones on this. Where the Titans go next and the grand old Ryan Tannehill debate. We'll get into your phones on this coming up next. Hey, tune in to 93.3 Classic Hits tonight for MTSU football. The Blue Raiders will kick off at 6 p.m. on the road against Liberty. Pregame beginning at 5 p.m. Coverage also available on the 93.3 Classic app and at 93.3ClassicHits.com.
Healthy, is he automatically the guy, or is there any?
Ryan. I mean, if he can go around me, a quarterback.
If Ryan Tannehill can go, he will be a quarterback. And I know that's not what a lot of Titan fans want to hear. So we are right to your thoughts. Phone lines driven by WilsonCountyHyundai.com. 615-737-1025 is our phone number. We'll kick it off with Tyreek, who was on the line with a thought on the Titans. What's up, Tyreek?
Hey, how y'all doing, man? Shout out to first off, I want to give a shout out to Rated R Tight Fan. That's my fan page on Facebook. But this is my question: we already know if Ryan Tannehill come back, the window is still closed. He's not the guy. So my thing is, I really think we need to start Malik. I really think we need to start Will Levis, bro, because you got to face the fact we need to just end the season with Will Levis. Because if he shows he's not the guy, and you get a top pick, you go get another quarterback. If you got a Drake Myers or you got a Caleb Williams, you take it. But right now, you don't know if he's the guy or not. Next year, you draft another quarterback for what?
Thank you for your call, Tyreek.
I mean, he that makes sense.
Are you going to find out if Will Levis is the guy or not in a few games?
No. It has to be more. Say, again, because I think that cutoff is could potentially be the Atlanta game, because right after that, you're talking about the trade deadline. Mm-hmm. So, say if you go out, Tannehill's still not 100%, you don't win an Atlanta game, how does he feel moving forward? And how do you feel about your team? Okay, well, if Tannehill's not going to be 100%, like, ready to roll within, 2 weeks or a week after that Atlanta game, then you have to start thinking as an organization, okay, we need to see where we are with this young guy. If we put him in there, we don't need to see. He doesn't need to win every game. Mm-hmm. We need to see promise and progress in him. Because if not, then there's nothing that's telling me Tannehill is going to be the quarterback for next year. All right? So we get to next year. Now, next year, we're trying to find out whether Will Levis is the guy or not. When you had an opportunity, possibly, to draft, maybe a quarterback. I don't know. Mm-hmm. You had an opportunity to draft a truly impact guy. Say if it is a quarterback, one of these quarterbacks that's coming out. Well, we had a chance to draft him, but we didn't, because we didn't know, what Levis looked like, or whether he was going to show some promise or something. Mm-hmm. To me, if you got an opportunity to play him, and no slight to Malik, but in their mind, I think Levis is their guy for the future. Well, if that is indeed the case, I need to see if this kid can play, not just play, can he process what's going on? Is he getting better every week? It doesn't have to be a jump from 1 to 10. It could be a jump from 1 to 2, mm-hmm. maybe from 1 to 1.5. But is he getting better every week? Is he learning what we want him to learn? I think that's how you got to look at it. It's not about necessarily winning or losing games when you put him in. It's, is he getting better? And then in the offseason, we know what we have ultimately in our quarterback.
And another one of Tyreek's points was, with Tannehill, the window is closed. What window? Super Bowl window?
I think that's making the been playoffs
closed.
Window. Yeah.
I don't think anyone thought that this team was a Super Bowl contender this year. But what window of, being, the top seed in the AFC?
I would agree.
That's closed. I don't think anyone expected that.
No, the window I think that they were shooting for was to scratch their way back into the playoffs one more time and see what happens. Mm-hmm. I think that's really the only realistic thing that they could have hoped for, and that was a tough ask with this roster. You needed a great year from Tannehill. He's not having a great year. The offense isn't having a great year. A lot of the things that they thought or hoped would be better or not. Like, of course, Jared went completely off the cliff with the disaster stuff. To me, he's exaggerating, but the things that he pointed out go down the checklist. You can use whatever harsh level that you want to, and he got really harsh. But the things he's pointing out are fair things. the Dillard signing has not worked out.
Mm-hmm. No.
Right? The other Arden Key flashed a little bit. Has not really worked out. Harold Landry has not bounced back. Mm-hmm. Chigakonkwo and Treylon Burks have not taken another step forward. You put all these things together, it's a mediocre team, and I don't think you can get to the ceiling that we laid out to start with. You know what I mean? Like, you got to be realistic about this. It's hard. Like, if they win against Atlanta, it staves off reality.
But
to
it doesn't
me.
Change anything.
It doesn't really change the outlook to me. Now, it keeps hope alive, and crazy things happen in this league. I grant you that. Maybe the light goes on for Chig. Maybe Burks comes back and he's different. That could all happen. But what's realistic? You do have to try to weigh that, and that's hard.
And what's best for the team? Because that's what Mike Vrabel said. We're going to try and make the team better. And I hope that feels obvious, because I think that is obvious that they do want to make this team better. Mm-hmm. But what is the path to that? Jeff from Tennessee texts in about my point about Will Levis. Because I said, look, if you think this offensive line is crap with Ryan Tannehill, which it is, then think about putting a rookie quarterback in there that didn't get a lot of work in the preseason due to injury. But Jeff Texan says Joe Burrow was sacked 9 times the year that Tannehill blew the game for the Titans, and it didn't ruin him. It made him stronger. So put Levis in and move on for the future. If he gets sacked 20 times, he will get strong or get gone. Tannehill won't get us anywhere.
Yeah. Well, Burrow, the year before, he took his lumps the entire rookie year.
And Joe Burrow tore his ACL in that first year. The time that Joe Burrow got sacked 9 times and went to the Super Bowl, that was in his second year. And I feel you would know, D.A., year 2 versus year 1, that's drastically different.
Yeah, but how much did he gain from the first year, even though he took his lumps?
He took his lumps.
He tore his ACL.
Beat the Titans.
Yeah, but he's a different breed of quarterback now. You talk about
Joe Burrow
and somebody else. They're different breeds of quarterback. A lot of, to me, in the next 2 weeks, 2.5 weeks, I think a lot of these questions will be answered. Whether to move on from Ryan Tannehill, throw Will Levis or Malik Willis in, make trades, all this stuff will be decided, I think, within this next 2 weeks to 2.5, more like 2 weeks. But, it's because everybody keeps going to Ryan Tannehill, and I understand why. And it's, he's been here 5-6 years. What is it? What is, because I heard the question yesterday, again, listening to our, Chase and Big Joe and Hutt, how would you sum up Ryan Tannehill's stay here in Nashville? Or what would his legacy be in quotations? And my thing is, his legacy is a what if. That's his legacy here. What if? What if
you didn't throw 3 interceptions into the Bengals?
Exactly. Yeah. When you had the number 1 team. Right. What if they allowed him to throw the ball a little bit more in the AFC Championship, like that whole run? What if they got him
in offensive line?
Exactly. So his whole tenure here is a what if.
And some is due to him and some is due to the organization.
But I think the fans are now like, we don't care what it is now. We want to move on. Because, again, they look at what the division is doing. Whether it works out for them or not, I don't know. It seems like Shroud is going to work out. It seemed like, they're taking it slow with Richardson and what they want to do. It seems like it's working out with Trevor Lawrence. So everybody in Nashville is looking at those other 3 teams, and they got their quarterback. We are the only people that are stuck with our old quarterback and don't know what we have in our new waiting quarterback. And the fans are like, listen, we just want to see what he has. Is he, close to what those other teams have? They want to feel optimistic about what's behind Ryan Tannehill. And right now, they don't know.
It sounds a lot like the Predators fans at the end of the season last year. After the trades, I think there was a lot of, hey, these young guys look like they may have something. I don't know how good, and this is what we're finding out this year, and probably maybe even into next year. But there's some optimism. There's some hope. There's some excitement of this was the move that they had to make, and it's fresh, it's new, and let's see. And so far, they're supporting the team as they go through this. I wonder what it would be like for the Titans fans, right? Amy Adams has got to be thinking about that if they make these decisions too. Are they going to have a bunch of no-shows or a bunch of the other team's fans in there, which is already tough enough
it's an issue.
To keep the other team's fans out, really, anywhere you go in most markets.
Right.
But do people stop going? I think for a while there'd be a lot of curiosity, especially if it's Levis, of, okay, even if he crashes and burns the first couple games, does he get better? As Derek was saying, does he give you at the end of the year hope that he could blossom into a starter?
I just go back to the conversations that we were having about Malik Willis when he went in last season. And what did we talk about all offseason? He didn't have any business seeing the field.
Right.
That doing that in year one could have ruined him. You could make the argument that this offensive line is worse than last year.
Yeah, I think you're right on that. The offensive line is probably even a bigger issue.
Yeah.
Here's what's different in my mind. Now, this is the problem, is because he missed so much time in training camp, and the time he was playing, he was sharing reps with Malik Willis and not getting starters reps. He really didn't get a lot of reps in training camp, period. So it's been all up to him behind the scenes. But he did at least play in a pro-style system in college.
Yeah. That's
Malik
what
Willis
I was
did
thinking.
Not.
Yeah.
Malik Willis was really thrown into a system that he had never played before in his life. He was trying to take the crash course in the summer to try to get up to speed on just how it works. But he was still way behind. I would hope that Levis's training in college sets him a little bit ahead of where Willis was last year.
And it has nothing to do with – because, listen, whether you think Malik Willis can play or not, that's your – you know, that's what you want to do. I've seen enough quarterbacks in this league to know he's a backup somewhere. He's a backup somewhere. I haven't seen enough bad quarterbacks starting and not starting. So not to say he can't play, I'm not going to say that. But I think Will Levis, he would not look like Malik Willis. Basically, because of what Willie said, he understands sort of the system. He came from a pro type system. Malik Willis didn't come from that system, so everything to him was sort of foreign. You know, he had to relearn. And I'm not faulting him. It was just, I've always said, college coaches are not there to
develop NFL quarterbacks.
They are there to win football games.
Right.
And if you develop it to an NFL quarterback, then great. But I think Will Levis would be a little bit further ahead in that regard. So I don't think it would look exactly like Malik, but it may not look great either.
Right. And you would hope, at least, that if you traded up in the second round, that he would look a little bit better than the third round quarterback.
Yeah.
615-737-1025. We'll get back into your thoughts, but let's take a quick breather coming up next. Mitch Light, who covers college football for The Athletic, will join us. Caroline Willie D. Mace, 1025-106.3 The Game.
At Giant Eagle, we believe in better. And that includes finding more ways to help you save. Because finding a good deal is everyone's deal. Because every dollar and every moment counts. On sale this season at Giant Eagle, you'll find lower prices on hundreds of favorites, like seedless grapes, ground beef, Giant Eagle American cheese, and more. Giant Eagle, because it matters. Limited time only through September 9, 2026. Prices and participation may vary. See store for details.
Every dating app swap is another loss. Gym bros, fake CEOs, straight up losers. So now the only app I open is Moto Casino, because at least there I'm surrounded by winners, real winners, thousands of them. While everyone else is in the single swamp, I'm at home relaxing while stacking bonuses, hitting wins, and playing all my favorite Vegas style games. Moto Casino, the only app worth your time.
Moto Casino is a social casino. Void where prohibited. No purchase necessary. Visit Moto.us for more details. Download the Moto Casino app today. Must be 21 plus.
Moto Casino, America's social casino.